do.
Judy. Good evening, Bacha.
Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I hope everybody is still well.
Yes, we are.
Any questions before we start?
Yes, I have a question
Okay.
from the earlier session that we had.
Sure.
Okay, there was a, let me see, I'm trying to remember how you said that. Okay, I think I marked it down. I was going to ask you about it. Well, you said, let me see. I should have had it. We have a like a friend. I'm trying to remember how you said that. I think you were dealing with you were explaining about the ego and self-interest, and you said when we talk to another person, we have a like a competitive attitude or something. We're supposed to kind of go, in other words, not argue with them, basically, and something about let the light shine or something to that effect. You remember?
Well, I know what you're referring to. I don't remember the exact words that I used in the handout. I never know what I actually say when I write the
Right.
handout, even I read it. But what you're talking about is when you have a friend, you're going to be, even if you have a good friend for many years, is your friendship based on mutual need? Is your friendship based on a desire to receive for oneself alone? Or is your friendship based on your desire to share with them? And that's what I was referring to about revealing the light. Because we have friends, we have community that we build, but if we're building it from the framework of the desire for oneself alone, it's we never really get to the core purpose of why we're in this world. There's an essay that Rabbi Ashlag wrote that I will eventually read in the classes. It's called Achdut. It's called the unity, basically. Achdut means unity. And it's the idea of what is the reason that we needed to grow into a nation. There was the family of Jacob and the 70 people, 70 souls who went down there to Egypt. Why did we need to go into Egypt? Not so much to Egypt, the nation, because Hashem told Abraham that he would take people down to another nation. He didn't say to Abraham which nation, but he said that we needed to grow into a nation. So what is the purpose of that nation, and why did we need to reach a particular size, which is 600,000 men and 600,000 women and at least two and a half children or three children? So you end up with 3 million people, roughly, is the size of minimum size of a nation. Now, what is the reason for that? And Rabbi Ashlag explains in his essay of Achdut, is the reason that we need 3 million people is if you have less than that, when people share with each other, and they do so for the idea of Lishma, which we talked about last week, we're going to talk about again today. When people share Lishma, which is the desire to receive in order to share, which is who are you sharing with, the Creator, you're studying Torah, you're living Torah for to give pleasure to the Creator, to give back, to share. And if you have less than 3 million people in a nation, then there's going to be some desire of some person that won't be fulfilled because there's not enough people to go around. That's the concept of the minimum size of a nation. So, can we be friends with 3 million people? The answer to that is we have no choice but to learn how to be friends with 3 million people. And you start by being friends with a few people. You start by never excluding another person from that friendship circle. We're nowhere near, the society is nowhere near this level of consciousness. But we're growing into it, and we will reach it. And we need to understand that from the standpoint of if you don't know it, if it's not part of your consciousness, you can never achieve it. So I hope I've answered your question, because it wasn't real clear which words I was talking about. But I think
okay,
this
what
is
I,
what you're referring. Go ahead.
What I need to know is when I have a discussion, and most of the time my discussions are with people that are spiritual minded, I guess, and you have one perspective because you're in, you know, you study a certain thing and you get enlightened by a certain thing, and so you naturally share with one another. Well, you get to a point where, you know, you don't, it's hard to explain to them what you're learning, and they think what you're learning is, I guess, nonsense, or, you know, you're way out there or whatever. How far do you go in your discussion with them, not really being angry or not getting into an argument, but how far do you pursue into a, you know, in a discussion to where you know that you're getting nowhere and it's just better to cut it off to remain friends, I guess you could say. I mean, how far into discussions do you go without really, you know, pushing it too far?
Look at your motivations for the discussion. Are you really having an intellectual discussion for the purpose of sharing the information with them? Or are you doing it because you want to be thought of by them as knowledgeable and intelligent and all kinds of positive things? You want them to think highly of you. You're not really sharing the information with them because of it's good for them. Because if it was good for them, if it was truly sharing with them, then you'd live it, and they would see it by your example. But when you're trying to explain it to them, you're coming from a frame that is, I know and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not friendship. That's a hierarchy. That's an attitude of selfishness. I'm not attacking you for it. It's very human. It's very normal.
Right.
But it isn't the goal.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is to live the Torah, to live the wisdom. And when you do that, they will notice the changes in you and they will ask you about it. And when there is a question asked, there's now a vessel to reveal the wisdom to them. But when you're having an intellectual discussion, there's no vessel for them to hold what you're teaching.
Okay. I guess my next question is, how do I know when it's appropriate, I guess, to bring up certain things? So you wait till they ask, basically? That's what it is. I'm trying to judge when to share. When I think they have the vessel to hold what I'm saying, and when not to, I guess that's what it is. I'm trying to, you know when it's appropriate to do that.
Like,
how do we judge that?
Initially, the easiest way and the best way is to let them ask. When you have reached a point where your intuition is connected on such a level that you can ask that still small voice within you, you can ask that internal question, Are they ready? And get the answer from your intuition that you know with certainty is the correct answer. Yes, they're ready. Then you can tell it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that level of connection, and most of us don't, the best way is to wait till they ask. Then for sure you know there's a vessel to listen. There's a vessel
okay.
to hear you. They may not change. They may not choose to do it. But without the question, there is absolutely no vessel.
Okay.
So when you think they're ready, be sure that it's not your ego saying, I want to be thought of as high, as a high soul, as a knowledgeable soul, as an important person. Make
okay.
sure that that's fully cleansed before you share it with them. Because when you share that with them, it's not the wisdom that's being shared, it's your ego. And that's where
okay.
you will get in arguments.
I see. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach. Anche Minicha. Aleph Begimel Yutaf Tzadi Kabel Rinat Kasag Rinyu Ahare No Kukre Shayan Sunjet Lut Nagi Bor Shehu We're going to use the sequence Yud Kaf Shin to take any part of our body that needs healing back to the stem cell state where it can be rejuvenated, it can be cleansed, and it can be healed. And then we bring that part of the body back into the body after it's been healed and rejuvenated, where it will act in its pristine state of being newly born, being rejuvenated, being a level where it will do its job properly, completely. Barhem tacharem Chasin kadosh the road to Yahid the letters of the month of Elul, the Resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Yud that created the constellation Betulah, the Virgo, the Virgin, the essence of purity. Shavatenu Kabel Yagatenu Ode Alumot Shintufav Adiyutav. As I said earlier, I do not have the verse in front of me. So I'm just going to say the one word that I have memorized, the first word. Vesamti. That verse. Vesamti. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. I'm now going to read from the Zohar, from the same section I read earlier, which is section 2 of Parashat Ki Tetzeh, verse 26. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu, Maasei Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu, Maasei Yadeinu Kunenehu. Kum Raya Mehemana Adayeman Deishtadal Bechalacha Shalom Lishma Beragwan Rawahot Halacha Vadwadai Beitufisa Ilegavi Vimba Kalda Ukimuha Seolam Yasokadam Vatutora Efilu Shalolishma Shemito Shalolishemba Lishma Vachai Halakha Meta Memtet Renaarto Deit Pirash Meilana Ditov Zera Bihu Isur Vachaitar Tumaa Betachara Kabashar Upatul Ve'al Sham Ne'ar Itkariyat Ihu Ihi Na'ara Tiatib Lekayum Vaviyona Aru Reshaim Mimana Vianon Yasur Tamay Upasul Tama'al Umishruyataho. Rise, faithful shepherd, for surely whoever studies halakha, which is malchut, not for its own sake, and understands the halakha, surely it is seized by him, that is, unwillingly. Yet it has been explained that man should always study Torah, even if not for its own sake, so that from studying not for its own sake, it shall become for its own sake. And this halakha is from the aspect of the good lad, who is Memtet, who is separated from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which comprises the forbidden and the permissible, the unclean and the clean, the fit and the unfit. After the lad, Memtet, Malchut is called a girl, by whom it will be fulfilled, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. Who are the forbidden, the unclean, and the unfit? It is Samael and his legions. You've just been given permission, which I don't suggest you do, to not follow the halakha. Because Malchut, the physical world, is a mixture of good and evil ever since the sin of Adam and Chava. And being a mixture of good and evil, it's confusing. There are some halachot that teaches us pure and impure, that teaches us forbidden and permissible. And this needs to be studied when you're on a certain level of consciousness. But as you grow through that level of consciousness to a higher level, you no longer need to be aware of this. You no longer need to know what is pure and what is impure, because everything becomes pure to you. There is good and evil in the world. And yet, evil is a creation of the Creator, of Hashem. On a higher level, there is no evil. It's the opportunity to grow. It's the difficulty and the problem and the opportunity we need to overcome. And it's good for us. Do we perceive it as good? This is the teaching always. The highest level of halakha is that everything is good. Every instant, the Creator creates anew the world. And He creates it anew in perfection. How come I don't see perfection in this world? Because I'm not perfect. So Hashem has created me anew at a level of imperfection so that I can grow to that level of perfection. There's good and evil. But I need to realize that there is no evil. It's the same idea in the halakha of words, of lashon hara, evil speech. Someone comes and tells me a story. So-and-so is going to come and kill me. I'm not supposed to believe him. But what if he's telling me the truth? I'm supposed to let that person just walk up to me and shoot me or knife me or whatever, however he plans to kill me? Chas v'shalom. But the halakha on the higher level is you don't believe it, but you take actions to protect yourself. Well, how do I take an action to protect myself? And at the same time, don't believe the statement I heard. This is the paradox of good and evil, of studying halakha, of permissible and forbidden, and yet arriving at a level that says they're not. They're all good. They're all the same level. There's no difference between permissible and forbidden if I'm on a high enough level, of which I'm not. That's why we have prophecies. And we have prophecies that teach us that when Mashiach comes, there will be people who will still need to study Torah at the level of the scroll as it is today. They will still need to study permissible and forbidden, because that's the consciousness they will be on. But there will be other people who have grown to a higher level who will not just need to study permissible and forbidden. They will be able to see that even the pig is kosher. I'm sure I have confused you, but I'm sure you'll find it beneficial as you contemplate what I've said. Are there any questions?
Yeah.
We have five.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay, you said that we didn't need to stay till we get on that certain level of consciousness. Is that a certain level of one of the sephirotes that we get to?
The sephirot. Our consciousness is also connected to the different level of Sephirot. Everything. Okay. Everything in the Torah. Let me finish, please.
Oh, okay.
This is important to hear.
Okay.
Everything in the physical world is composed of Sephirot. Everything in the physical world is composed of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. You want to know why somebody gains weight and becomes fat? Chas v'shalom. It's because Satan has transformed the letters of the words of the physical thing that they consume, the food that they consume, and it becomes unhealthy for them. Whereas the same food being eaten by someone else, those letters are not transformed by the satan, and so they don't gain weight. Everything is sephirot. Everything is the letters and the sounds of the letters. Now, please ask the question you wanted to ask. I'm sorry for stopping you.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just trying to figure out, I mean, what is that conscious level? You said we don't stay till we get on a certain level of consciousness. The Holocaust, till we get to that certain level. I was just wondering what that was, what level that was.
Well, the halakha is the level of malchut. Do you remember last week I spoke to you about the 10 levels of Torah that we studied all
mm-hmm.
the time?
Mm-hmm.
The 10th level is the halakha.
Okay.
The halakha is the study of what's permissible and what's forbidden. It's the study of judgment mixed with mercy. That's what Malchut is. That's what the physical world is. It's a mixture of good and evil. The halakha is the same thing. Is there a spiritual halakha that's on that higher level? Yes. What is that called? That's Malchut of Yesod. They are not Malchut of Malchuts. How do I relate to that? Well, you have King David, who is Malchut of Malchut, and you have King Solomon, who is the wisest man ever in the world, who is Malchut also, but he's Malchut of Yesod. Understanding the Sefirot and the Tree of Life is what we will be learning in this class. Assuming you guys want to learn this and stay around to learn it. And I will tell you the truth. There's never been anybody who's ever completed the book in a class. There have been people who completed the book individually. The book consists of 16 chapters, 16 sections. The book is describing the flow of beneficence, the flow of Shefa, the transformation from the endless world to the physical world, step by step. This is what the book explains, and we're just reading the foreword, the hakdama, the introduction. We haven't even touched the beginning chapter. And the only person that I know has taught this book in a classroom setting is the Kabbalah Center and Rabbi Berg, or all three rabbis, all three Berg people have taught it. And Rabbi Lightman has taught it. But Rabbi Lightman has never completed it, and the Bergs have never gone past chapter 5. Rabbi Lightman has translated through chapter 8, but he's never taught past chapter 4, to my knowledge. So we'll teach it as long as there's somebody who wants to learn it. Are there any other questions? I'm going to ask a silly question because I couldn't remember. The handout is available on the website, on the second column, I believe it's row 12, but I could be wrong. But it says the Esser Sefirot, and this is class 4, and there's a handout for class 4. But this handout starts at section 24 a second time. And I know we've read section 24 a second time last week. But does anybody remember where we stopped?
Yes, I have it marked.
Where did we stop?
I have class 3 stopped here at the beginning of 26.
Okay. So rather than do that, let's... Let's start at 25 so that we just continue and have some continuity.
Okay.
Now you see how all the questions that we presented in the beginning of the introduction are complete folly. They are the obstacles that the evil inclination spreads in order to hunt innocent souls, to dismiss them from the world, robbed and abused. Examine the first question. When they imagine that they can keep the whole Torah without the knowledge of the wisdom of Kabbalah, I say to them, listen, indeed, if you can keep the study of Torah and the observance of the mitzvot appropriately, lishma, meaning only in order to bring contentment to the Maker, then indeed you do not need to study Kabbalah. This is because then it is said about you, one soul shall teach him. This is because then all of the secrets of the Torah will appear before you like a lush spring, a lush spring. As in the words of Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah of Avot, and you will need no assistance from the books. However, if you are still engaged in learning lo lishma, but hope to merit lishma by this means, then I ask you, how many years have you been doing so? If you are still within the 5 years, as the Tanna Kamma says, or within the 3 years, as Rabbi Yossi says, then you can still wait and hope. But if you have been practicing the Torah in lo lishma for more than 3 years, as Rabbi Yossi says, and 5 years, as the Tanna Kamma says, then the Baraita warns you that you will not see a good sign in this path you are treading. Why delude your souls with false hopes when you have such a near and sure tactic as the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah? As I have shown the reason above, that the study in the issues of the wisdom and the Creator himself are one. I hope you remember from last week, because this section, which we did read last week, this past week I had experiences with different students, all related to this issue. Why do I have to study Kabbalah? And the answers all fall into one of those five questions that Rabbi Ashlag started this Hakdama with. Why do I have to study Kabbalah? In fact, one of my students is starting to study Torah because he or she feels that their knowledge of the Bible is imperfect and they need to have more of this wisdom directly from the Torah itself. And they have found a teacher who says, do not study the Kabbalah. And this student has come to me and said, why should I study the Kabbalah? And I have to fall back. I'm devastated by the pain that this soul will be going through. But I have to fall back on the teachings of my teacher. Never believe a word I say. Experience it for yourself. This teaching, as it's applied in this particular case, why should you study the Kabbalah? If you're in the first 3 to 5 years of your study, continue. You don't have to study Kabbalah. But if you're still not receiving the information that you need at the moment that you need it in your mind, in your thoughts, which is what they're saying here about the books. You don't have to get it from the books. Rabbi Meir says in Avot, you don't need it from the books if you're on that higher level, that level of lishma, the level of for its own sake. I know I'm not on that level, so I need the Kabbalah. My teachers tell us that nobody alive today is on that level. I teach that We don't have the spiritual guides that we had even 20 years ago. 20 years ago, we had the Rebbe, and I didn't follow the Rebbe when he was alive. I still don't follow the Rebbe, but I follow some of his teachings. I teach them to you. There was the Baba Sali, who performed miracles. When I say miracles, I'm talking about people who wanted to have children and couldn't have children for 10, 15 years. These are religious people that it's so much a mitzvah, so much part of their culture and society that they're outcasts if they don't have children. And they went in pain and suffering and crying to the Baba Sali. And he blessed them to have children, and they had children the next year. We had these spiritual guides and teachers. We didn't appreciate them, and we've lost them. We no longer have them. We need to do this work ourselves. We need to study this level ourselves. Lo Lishma, and study the Kabbalah in order to reach the level of Lishma, so that we will get the thoughts. When our friend seems to be ready to hear us for studying Kabbalah, and it's really crazy and out there for them still, they seem to be on that level. We will know whether they really are ready to hear it or whether they need to be shown it and wait for the question to be asked. I'm continuing to read by commentary. Unfortunately, there is a significant separation between religious people and spiritual people. A religious person perceives that Hashem commands him, and thereby he lacks the consciousness of Lishma, while he thinks that he is doing these mitzvot for the Creator's sake. Because Hashem commanded him, then he should do the mitzvot. The Creator commanded him. I'm doing it because the Creator commanded me. It's for the Creator's sake. That's the illusion that he puts on himself. Remember, command is an idol worship, since you are the effect and not the cause. Even if the effect is the cause of a command from Hashem. You aren't in this world to be an effect, only to learn how to be a cause. The Satan is the cause of this kind of consciousness and the illusion that lengthens the process. When one starts to study Zohar, then one is breaking through this illusion and beginning to connect to the consciousness of certainty that will start the transformation from lo lishma to lishma. How can one overcome the question, which is really an excuse to not study Kabbalah? Never by coercion, never by argument, only by revealing the light of binding by striking. The religious person may live in a community of black hat style dress and be taught to hate anyone who does not follow his path or his procedure for prayer and other forms of separation and exclusion. Yet when the light is revealed by that spiritual person, the klipa that creates the separation can be broken by the religious person. It's not the spiritual person who breaks the klipa, but the light that he reveals allows the religious person to break his own klipa. This is the meaning of sending love to one who hates you. Section 26. Let us also examine the second question. which is that one must fill one's belly with Mishnah and Gemara. Everyone agrees that it is indeed so. Yet this is all true if you have already been endowed with learning Lishma, or even low Lishma if you are still within the 3 to 5 years. However, after that time, the Baraita warns you that you will never see a good sign, and so you must test your success in the study of Kabbalah. I didn't write out a commentary to this section, because I've already given that commentary. There are times, very rare, where I receive information as a thought in my mind. That information becomes useful to somebody else that I'm sharing the wisdom with, that I'm teaching. Am I studying Lishma? Am I living Torah Lishma? I'm not going to tell you that. It's not, can't be true. I know who I am. But I also know when I've been given that thought and told to share it with this student or this person, there's a reason behind it. It's part of the thought of creation. It's thought part of the plan of creation. It's part of the process. And I'm just being a channel at that moment. That's my commentary about section 26. Yes, we need to study Mishnah and Gemara. And yes, when I need to have that study, when I need to have Gemara and Mishnah be in a detailed level, guess what? It's called Dayomi. For those of you unfamiliar with it, don't study one page of Talmud a day. You can't study one page of Talmud a day. You can't study it in 15, 20, 30 minutes that the lectures take. It cannot be understood at that level. It's under being understood as a on a surface level. Is it Lishma? The point is that when that person needs the information in the Gemara, he's been given it at its surface level. And the deeper levels will be revealed to him in his mind by other entities when he needs it, when he reaches the level of Lishma. Why do you think Daf Yomi, I believe it's the 13th signal, it's only been around less than 100 years, 80, 60 years, that people have been studying the Daf Yomi, a page of Talmud a day. Before that, they studied it on a different level all the time, deeply all the time. But our society, our levels, our consciousness, Daf Yomi is what our rabbis have told us to do. And every time the seven-year cycle takes place, there's more and more people studying it, thank God. Because this is how we in our generation need to progress. Section 27. We must also know that there are two parts to the wisdom of truth. The first is called the secrets of Torah, should not be exposed except by implication and from a wise Kabbalist to a disciple who understands in his own mind Ma'aseh Merkava and Ma'aseh Bereshit belong to that part as well. The sages of the Zohar refer to that part as the first three Sefirot, Keter, Chachma, and Bina. And it is also called the Rosh, the head of the Partsuf. And Rabbi Ashlag, this is my commentary to Rabbi Ashlag, calls it the Gimel Rishonot, the first three. The second part is called the flavors of Torah, Ta'amei Torah. It is permitted to disclose them, and indeed a great mitzvah to disclose them. The Zohar refers to it as the seven lower sephirot of the Partsuf, and it is also called the Guf, the body of the Partsuf. Every single Partsuf de Kedusha of holiness consists of 10 sephirot. These are called Keter Chachma Bina, Chesed Gevura Tiferet Netzach Chod Yesod and Malchut. The first three sephirot are considered the Rosh of the Partsuf, the head of the Partsuf. And the seven lower sephirot are named the Guf of the Partsuf. Even the soul of the lower person contains the 10 sephirot in their above names, as well as every single discernment in the upper and in the lower, in the Rosh and in the Guf. The reason why the seven lower sephirot, which are the Guf of the Partsuf, are called the flavors of the Torah, the Ta'ameh of the Torah, is as the meaning of the verse, and the palate tasted its food. The lights that appear under the first three, namely the Rosh, are called Ta'amim, flavors. And Malchut of the Rosh is called Tes, palate. For this reason, they are called Ta'amim of Torah. This means that they appear in the palate of the Rosh, which is the source of the Ta'amim, which is Malchut de Rosh. From there down, it is not forbidden to disclose them. Quite the contrary. The reward of one who discloses them is immeasurable and boundless. And this is the answer to that student who asked me, why should I study Kabbalah when this teacher of Talmud and this teacher of Torah, Bible, is telling me not to study? The answer is, there are levels that they should not study. And there are levels that they must study because it's a tremendous mitzvah. This is what Rabbi Ashlag taught publicly. This is what my teachers teach publicly. And this is what I teach publicly. Also, these first three sephirot and these seven lower sephirot expand both in the general and in the most particular segment that can be divided. Thus, even the first three sephirot of the Malchut at the end of the world of Asiya belong to the section of the secrets of Torah, which are not to be disclosed. And the seven lower sephirot in the Keter of the Rosh of Atzilut belong to the section Ta'amim of Torah, which are permitted to be disclosed. And these words are written in the books of Kabbalah. My commentary. Section 26 is clear and then becomes confusing in section 27, since both sections are answering the excuse of question number 2, which is, I have to continue to study Talmud. The real operative reason is the last paragraph of section 27. Read it again. I'm going to read it again now. Also, these first three sephirot and these seven lower sephirot expand both in the general and in the particular. Thus, even the first three sephirot of the Malchut at the end of the world of Asiya belong to the section of the secrets of Torah, which are not to be disclosed. And the seven lower sephirot in the Keter of the Rosh of Atzilut belong to the section Ta'amim of Torah, which are permitted to be disclosed. And these words are written in the books of Kabbalah. continuing with my commentary. There is Kabbalah in all levels of Torah that are necessary to truly appreciate and understand all of a particular level of Torah. This is why the Gra, the Gaon de Vilna, who lived at the same time as the Baal Shem Tov, and vehemently disagreed with the disclosure of the Kabbalah taught by the Baal Shem Tov, actually said that it is necessary to study Kabbalah to understand all the levels of Torah. This is the idea of the flavors, the ta'amim, versus the secrets, the sod. Section 28. And always feel free to ask a question at any time. You will find the source of these words in the Mishnah Pesachim, page 119. As it is written in Isaiah 23, and her gain and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up. For her gain shall be for them that dwell before the Lord, to eat their fill, and by for stately clothing. What is stately clothing? This is what covers things that Atik Yomim has covered. And what are those? The secrets of the Torah. Others say this is what reveals things that Atik Yomim has covered. What are those? The flavors, the ta'amim of the Torah. The Rashbam, a particular rabbi, interprets, Atik Yomim, Yomim is the creator, as it is written, and Atik Yomim sits. The secrets of the Torah are Maasei Merkava, the workings of the chariot, and Maasei Bereshit, the workings of creation. These are two different paths of the wisdom of Kabbalah, but they have secrets and tastes in both paths. The meaning of name is as it is written, this is my name forever. The clothing means that he does not give them to any person, but only to those whose heart is anxious. This is what reveals things that Atik Yomim has covered. Means covering the secrets of the Torah, which were initially covered. And Atik Yomim disclosed them and gave permission to disclose them. And one who discloses them is granted what he said in this verse above. Hanoch's commentary. Maasei Merkava is the doing or the workings of the chariot, which is taught in my Sefer Yetzirah class, and is actually learning things like astral travel and mind over matter creation. The term Maasei Bereshit is what is taught by most of the current teachers of Kabbalah, and is the study of Kabbalah intellectually. You will understand what you will understand, and as for the rest, memorize the words. I am not satisfied with the process of Maasei Bereshit, yet that does not make it wrong. Verse 29. Now you evidently see the great difference between the secrets of Torah, where all who attain them receive this great reward for covering them and for not disclosing them. And it is to the contrary with the ta'amim of the Torah, where all who attain them receive this great reward for disclosing them to others. There is no dispute on the first opinion, but only examination of the different meanings between them. The Lishma Kama states the end as it says, stately clothing. Hence they interpret the attainment of the great reward for covering the secrets of the Torah. Others say it states the beginning, which reads, eat their fill, meaning the ta'amim of the Torah as it is written, and the palate tasted its food. This is because the lights of ta'amim are called eating, Hence, they interpret the attainment of the great reward mentioned in the text regarding one who discloses the ta'amim of the Torah. There is no dispute between them. But one speaks of the secrets of the Torah, and the other speaks of the ta'amim of the Torah. However, both think that the secrets of the Torah must be covered, and the ta'amim of the Torah must be disclosed. My commentary. It sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? Actually, it is quite simple. The Torah has four aspects. The written, of which has two aspects, and the oral, which has two aspects. Both the oral and the written Torah has the taste and the secrets. Both the oral and the written has the four levels called the pardes of the garden. The Peshat, or the simple, of the written, and the Peshat of the oral. Some of the written can be revealed, and some of the oral can be revealed, and some of each cannot be revealed. When one reveals what is appropriate, the effect is less chaos and true serenity from the revelation of light. When one reveals what one is not appropriate, then the effect is severe chaos, as the Ari lost a child for revealing what he was told not to reveal. This can be at any of the four levels and at any of the two categories. Do you know the levels of Torah? Do you know the categories of Torah? Peshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod are levels. Categories are oral and written. What can be revealed is called tameh, or taste. What cannot be revealed is called sod, or secrets. The word sod has two meanings, and is not used interchangeably. Yet most people do not know that. A teacher will help you define these terms and use them properly. Can you reveal the sod of the oral? When you can answer this question, you will be ready to move on. The question is, will this sod level be concealed forever, or will Mashiach reveal it to us? Section 30. Thus you have a clear answer about the fourth and the fifth questions in the beginning of the introduction, and what you find in the words of our sages as well as in the holy books, that it is only given to one whose heart is worried, meaning the part called secrets of the Torah, considered the first three sefirot and the rosh, the head, that it is given to only concealed ones and under certain conditions. You will not find even a trace of them in all the books of Kabbalah, in writing and in print, since those are the things that Atik Yomin covered, as it is written in the Gemara. Moreover, do say it is possible to even think and picture that all those holy and famous righteous people, which are the greatest and best in the nation, such as the Yetzer Sirah, the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Creation, the Book of Sohar, and the Brita of Rabbi Ishmael, Rabbi Chai Gaon and Rabbi Chamei Gaon, Rabbi Elazar of Gamiza, and the rest of the Rishonim, the first ones, through the Ramban, and the Baal HaTurim, and the Baal Shulchan Aruch, through the Vilna Gaon, and the Ladi Gaon, and the rest of the righteous, may the memory of all be blessed. From them we receive the whole of the revealed Torah, and by their words we live to know which act to perform so as to be favored by the Creator. All of them wrote and published books in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and there is no greater disclosure than writing a book, whose author does not know who reads the book. It is possible that utter wicked people will scrutinize it. Hence, there is no greater uncovering of the secrets of the Torah than to write a book that can be read by anybody. And we must not doubt the words of these holy and pure, that they might infringe even an iota on what is written and explained in the Mishnah and the Gemara, that are forbidden to disclose, as written in Masechet Hagiga. Rather, all the written and printed books are necessarily considered the Ta'amim of the Torah, which Atik Yomim first covered and then uncovered, as it is written, and the palate tasted its food. Not only are these secrets not forbidden to disclose, on the contrary, it is a great mitzvah, a very good deed to disclose them, as it is written in Pesachim 1:19. And one who knows how to disclose and discloses them, his reward is plentiful. This is because on disclosing these lights to many, particularly to the many, depends the coming of Messiah soon in our days. And may we all say, Amen.
Amen.
My commentary to section 30, and I think that will be the end of tonight's class. Please note, when you say the name of the sage or the name of the book the sage has written, you are referring to the same thing. A book and a name of a sage are the same thing, an aspect of the soul of the person. When you write something, if you are not revealing your essence, meaning your soul, you are not doing it properly. This applies to an essay on a high school exam or a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. This is truly something that needs to be contemplated. Rabbi Ashlag is also teaching that if it has become revealed, then it transfers from the sod to the ta'ameh. If it was sod, it would not be revealed by these caliber of people. It also is teaching that evil people can learn the level called ta'ameh, but would never be able to learn the sod, since it is never taught by physical people. It is only taught by the heavenly academy levels. Now, many of my students are Jews by choice. What is the implication of this section on the teachings of the man from Nazareth and his followers? Is the New Testament positive or negative? How can wars be waged in the name of religion by Kabbalists? How can a Mikubal, the Hebrew word for a Kabbalist, curse a person for following his heart and claiming he is doing wrong to teach or reveal any aspect of wisdom? These questions are questions that need to be contemplated. These questions are questions that I ask you. I ask you to think about it. Does anyone have any questions at this moment? The announcements for tonight, in case you didn't hear them in the previous class. Tomorrow night at 8:30, well, let me stop. Tonight at 1 a.m., we will be doing the ritual of Slichot. As we taught on Sunday, Slichot deals with cleansing. It deals with creating a purity level, removing negativity, separating the impure from the pure. It's done with three tools. The tools of the Aleph-Bet in the order of the Aleph-Bet, the tool of the Shofar, and the tool of the 13 attributes of mercy. This ritual takes about an hour to do, and the best time to do it is right at midnight. But in daylight savings time, midnight is at 1 a.m. So every night between now and Yom Kippur, we will be saying the Slichot. I don't expect everybody to join me every night, but if you're up at that time, which is 2 o'clock Mountain Time, 3 o'clock Central Time, and 4 o'clock Eastern Time, if you're up at that time, please join us. Tomorrow night at 8:30, we have our 22nd class of Advanced Reincarnation, I believe. Thursday at 10 p.m., we have a Zohar class. We also have Zohar class, again, once I get settled tomorrow. So figure on Wednesday, starting Wednesday, I will be doing my Zohar classes again. But if you need to let me know that you want to be sent a text, because the timing of that class will be different every day. Sometime around 3, sometimes before 3, sometimes after 3, but around 3 we'll be doing a Zohar class every afternoon, except for Saturday, of course. Saturday night at 10:30, we have a Zohar class. It's your first opportunity to do a spiritual action of the week. Sunday morning at 10:30, we will have a class continuing our preparation for the High Holidays. The class this coming Sunday will be about the Shofar. Monday, this coming Monday at 5 a.m., we will have the Sefer Yetzirah class. I believe it's class number 10. At 5:30 in the afternoon Monday, we will have a class on the calendar, the part one of the two classes in the basic class about the calendar. And then at Monday night next at 8:30, we will continue this teaching of Rabbi Ashlag. Please let people you know be aware, if anybody you know wants to be learning and starting the basic class from the beginning, we will be starting a new basic class in my new location in Carson City, Nevada, which is also includes Sparks, Nevada. It also includes Reno, Nevada. It also includes Lake Tahoe, California, and the city of Truckee, California. This area will be starting a basic class Sunday evening. Time is not yet confirmed, but it should be Sunday around 6 or 7 or maybe late afternoon. But we'll be teaching a class Sunday for the basic class in this new location. So if you know anybody who wants to start the basic class again, many people do continue to take the basic class over and over because they learn something new each time they hear it. You're all most welcome. Are there any other questions? Have a beautiful evening, and hopefully some of you will join us at 1 a.m. this morning. Be well. Shalom, you all.
Shalom. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience, y'all.
Bye, Judy.